This show is powered by BL3P, the Lightning-enabled European Bitcoin exchange.
Connect the build.
Evan Kaloudis, Zeus, Philadelphia, and New York.
Zeus was the king of the gods in ancient Greek religion. He was the god of the sky, lightning and thunder, and the most prominent symbols associated with him are the thunderbolt, eagle, bull, and oak. Zeus was the son of Cronus and Rhea. Did you know his father Cronus intended to eat him alive, but his mother Rhea managed to fool Cronus by wrapping a stone in swaddling clothes and saving Zeus?
Yes.
Do you always feed your dog Tapsiners?
Yes.
Do you prefer a hot dog with Coke over gyros with a shot of ouzo?
No.
My best advice in four words or less is run your own node.
Yes.
I prefer to use a VPN to connect to my node instead of Tor.
Yes.
Daft Punk were a French electronic music duo formed in 1993 in Paris. They achieved popularity in the late 1990s as part of the French house movement, combining elements of house music with funk, disco, techno and rock. They toured throughout 2006 and 2007 and released the live album Alive 2007, which won a Grammy Award for Best Electronic Dance Album. Did you have the chance to visit one of these Alive shows?
Sadly, no.
OnlyFans should integrate the Lightning Network right away.
Yes.
Victor Wembanyama is a French professional basketball player that was selected first overall by the Spurs in the 2023 NBA draft. He is considered one of the greatest basketball prospects of his generation. Do you think that he will become the best player of the league someday?
No, not while Giannis is around.
Do you think Tim Cook runs Zeus LN on his iPhone?
No, not yet.
Are you Satoshi Nakamoto?
No.
Welcome to the Connect the World weekly podcast. I'm Edward.
And I'm Steph. We are ready to take you with us into the beautiful world of the Lightning Network.
Enjoy the ride. This is episode 83 of Connect the World, and this show is made possible by BL3P, our friends from the Bitcoin European Exchange. Thank you guys for helping us to complete our mission, and Steph, of course, and the whole team. And if you also want to help out with our mission, then please follow us on Twitter, subscribe at our YouTube account, and if you have any questions, then ask them in our Telegram group. And we are also on Bitcoin TV. If you didn't check it out, then go to it and check it out. And of course, a donation is always welcome. Let's continue.
Yeah, let's welcome.
Yeah, Evan.
Evan, hey.
Hey, guys, how are you doing today?
Yeah, great.
Those questions were tricky, right?
Yeah. Yeah, there were some tricky ones. Daft Punk, I wasn't sure if you were trying to throw me a curveball. They may have gotten started a little bit sooner than, I mean, earlier than 93. But
yeah, really?
Is that so?
Did they start earlier than?
They might have, but no, the 90s is when they really started coming to prominence. Yeah.
And I'm going to make you jealous because I was at the Alive 2007 show here in Amsterdam, man.
That is so crazy.
Yeah.
So I drive an older car, right? So I don't have like auxiliary jack. So I actually went to the record store and I bought that on CD for some driving. Yeah, I mean, yeah, it's such a great record to have in the car.
And I must admit, I think because I went to a lot of concerts, I don't even remember all of them, but this one, the Daft Punk one, it's like, well, and it's funny because I dig into your history and I saw you tweeting about Daft Punk and listening to the Alive album. And it was just last week that I I was talking about the album online in the Telegram groups of our community, and that this was, I think, the most important moment for me in dance music, because it was so freaking good. I mean, we didn't know what to expect. A friend of mine, he just cut out a piece of newspaper with advertisement that Daft Punk was going to play live in Amsterdam, and it was like in the newspaper. You know, we didn't have cell phones or anything like that. I mean, I think we had cell phones, but there wasn't any internet connection or something. So we right after school, we got into the nearest bookshop and we bought tickets for that show, and we didn't know what to expect, you know. And then that evening, it was on a Wednesday evening, so we had to go to school the next day. I think I was, 2007, I was like 16 or something. And it was so freaking amazing, man. Words can't describe the feelings I had. I was right in front of the podium, and I was holding a fence, and I was just jumping the whole evening. I couldn't stop jumping. It was so amazing, man.
Yeah, I mean, it's one hell of a set. And, you know, with electronic music, those live shows are difficult, you know. Like, as a DJ, you have much more limited control over the show compared to, say, a live band. But yeah. Daft Punk are just on a different level, the way that they do their live mixing. They blend their own stuff. And just the energy and presentation that they bring to their shows.
But, dude, the live versions of, and combining several tracks into one complete track, I mean, it's I don't know, man. Words can't describe how beautifully they've done that, you know. And it's just a masterpiece. I think that's the only right way to express. It's just a masterpiece, right? If you guys really, if you don't know Daft Punk, you must shame yourself. Definitely. And if you haven't listened to that that album, and the funny thing is, it's on YouTube too, with video. I think they recorded, I don't know if they recorded them themselves, but it was a show in the States that was recorded, and someone did upgrade it to a 4K video. Obviously it's upscaled, so it's not real 4K, but the quality is good, and then you can get a grasp of the show. It's not that good as in life, but it's, yeah, man, it's really great. So if you haven't checked it out, please check it out.
Hey, and Steph, explain what you saw when digging into Evan, it's a Twitter account or something. Do you always feed dog tap signers? What is that?
Let's Evan explain himself.
What are tap signers?
I got a couple of tap signers. You know, I've been sort of building up a collection. And I left them out on our table right next to the couch where my dog Murray usually lays out. And I don't know what I was doing, maybe tending to something in the garden. And I come back and I see that he's eaten like three of them. So
eating hardware wallets.
Yeah, eating hardware wallets. So, you know, some people, they lose their Bitcoin in boating accidents. Mine get eaten by Murray.
Feeding the dog accidents.
No, it's going to be a really tough conversation with the IRS if they ever come knocking.
Crazy,
man.
And awesome story.
Yeah, I also asked you if you prefer the hot dog and Coke combination over the gyros with a shot of ouzo.
It's hard. I actually just had a gyro for lunch. It was amazing. Generally not an ouzo guy. I really like, I don't know, from Greek liquors, probably the moonshine, the raki.
I was doubting, raki. Should I say ouzo or raki, but you prefer raki.
Raki for sure. Actually brought some raki on the first Bitcoin podcast I ever did. what was it? Tales from the Crypt with Marty Ben and Matt O'Dell. Marty really liked it. Matt, not so much, but we had a great rip. So, just... Wish those in-person rips are good. Wish this one was in person. Maybe I'd bring some.
Yeah, next time, definitely.
Maybe. Awesome.
And when will Tim Cook install Zeus on his iPhone, you think?
We'll see. I think the new version of the app is going to be enticing to a lot of people. It's going to really help boost our user count. And I don't know, as long as Tim doesn't want to just roll Bitcoin into Apple Pay, which I don't think is outside of the realm of possibility, then really good possibility Tim comes on board the Zeus team.
Yeah, because implementing it in Apple Pay is so, it seems so easy, right? It's just...
Well, I think it would
be...
If
they want it, they can do it.
It'd be a good strategic move for Apple. Well, part of me wonders how much pushback there would be from, you know, the credit card processors. Yeah, but sure. Again, Apple indeed. Is just an immensely powerful company. So I really don't think that'd be too much of a roadblock. So we'll see what happens.
If that happens, do you think it's just a one man's decision, or are there more people needed? Just only Tim Cook?
I think Apple's got a lot of stakeholders. You know, there's got to be roadblocks with whatever you do, but long term, you know, the right leader can convince all the other stakeholders that is the right decision for the company to make. And I think that Apple could greatly benefit by leading the charge and saying, hey, Silicon Valley, we're in on this. Are you?
Yeah. And I mean, it suits their mission well, I guess. And Tim, he owns Bitcoin, right? That's what he stated last year. So, only time will tell.
Owning, but not using then. So,
yeah. We'll see. I think we have a couple more UX things that we really need to iron out, especially on the Lightning front. There's still a lot of uncertainty. And, you know, Apple only really likes to get into things when they're nice and developed.
Absolutely.
But, hey, in the next couple of years, I think it could totally happen. So
time would tell. Man. That's a nice, feeling. So it just takes a couple more years or a year. There are so many things that could happen.
and maybe we obviously want to talk with you about Zeus, but maybe you can tell us something about your background. What did you do before you worked on Zeus?
Yeah, so before Zeus, I worked in cybersecurity. I worked in the cybersecurity field for about 6 years. I got my master's in it. But Zeus, I probably started up around year five of it. So it's been around a good chunk, over 4 years now. I was just average developer building cybersecurity tools. But I had actually got into Bitcoin around 2014 in college. It had taken me a few years to really grasp it. I had just thought of it as like nerd money, like
speculation.
Digital. Yeah. I'm like, oh, how's this different than RuneScape Gold? And it was sort of funny because I was studying computer science. I had, read a decent amount of Austrian economics. So for someone with that background, it should have clicked instantly.
Yeah.
But no, it took like three, almost 4 years for me to be like, okay, like this is legit. This is the future. So we have to give people a little bit of slack if they're not too gung-ho about jumping on board right away. If it took me that long,
how long
is it going to take for the average person?
Indeed.
Yeah, that's interesting. Yeah.
It takes time.
Why the name Zeus?
Zeus, I'm Greek-American. I was born here, but my family's all from Greece. And, you know, it's important to know where you come from in order for you to get to where you want to go.
And not because Zeus is the god of gods.
I mean, that too, it doesn't hurt. It's and the lightning, probably the coolest brand you could have using these themes. So, that doesn't hurt.
Yeah, cool. That's man. Right. Okay, let's dive into the 21 minutes if you're ready, even.
Yep.
And let's ask you all the questions about Zeus.
Let's do it.
Let's do it.
Connect o mundo.
Well, Evan, we can't imagine, but for those who don't know what Zeus is or did not use it before, what is it and what makes it stand out from other Lightning wallets?
Right. So Zeus is a Lightning wallet. It's cross-platform for iOS and Android. And as it stands today, at least the version on the app stores right now, it functions primarily as a remote controller. So you have to come to the table with a LND, Core Lightning, Eclair node, or even an LND Hub account, and you are given unprecedented control on mobile. So this means the ability to open your own channels, to make those Lightning and on-chain payments with a decent degree of coin control, as well as see how much you've earned in routing fees and edit those fees per channel.
Okay, and you mentioned before a bit that where you start building on Zeus. If you compare the lightning landscape from back then to this day, what can you tell us about the development journey of Zeus? You're laughing already.
Yeah, it's just shifted so drastically, seeing so many projects come in and some go unmaintained. But yeah, I mean, just the user experience has gone up so drastically. You know, back in the day, I had to manually run my Bitcoin node, like build Bitcoin Core. Then I had to go compile LND. Then I had to go put that on top. And then it was a whole challenge as like, how do I use this thing on the go? Right.
Yeah.
Like if you buy something online, I make this argument a lot. If you're buying something online and you're expecting it to come in a few weeks, it doesn't need to settle instantly. In a lot of cases, on-chain payments are fine. But in person, it's a different story. You don't want to be waiting around, sitting for confirmation. You don't want to be holding up the grocery store line or even the bartender at the bar. It just has to be instant. So yeah. I knew Zeus, or rather Lightning, would shine with those in-person transactions. So once I had set up my Lightning node, I realized that we needed better tools to control them on the go and to interact with Lightning from our phones.
Yeah,
absolutely. Well, within our Rings of Fire community, which is how many years old, Steph? 2 years now?
Yeah,
two and a half?
2.5 years.
I think. Yeah, a lot of Lightning Node operators make use of Zeus for accessing and do some basic monitoring also for their nodes and channels. What most important tips can you share with people who want to start running their and managing their own node? So the step before using Zeus.
There are a ton. I think number one, a huge misconception is about, you know, channel flows. And I would say if you can try to keep your channels balanced, if you have lopsided channels all the way to one side or the other, that can create a lot of routing errors. And following up on that, I would say that channels and liquidity, or rather connectivity, it's not fungible. Getting it from one source can greatly differ from getting it another. You know, a channel to a peer that has more connectivity, more channels, better connectivity, say ClearNet over Tor, can be way more valuable than a peer that doesn't.
Yeah, that's a huge difference. If you're talking to speed of a Lightning transaction, then ClearNet is a huge difference. Yeah.
Can you elaborate on the technical features that Zeus offers to make it more user-friendly, especially for those who may have put off by Tor issues, for instance?
Yeah, so on the Tor front, Tor had really been plaguing us for a couple of years, especially now in today's environment where Tor is getting DDoSed. It is really unreliable. So we've got quite a few tools for you to work around that. In one regard, the node platforms like Umbra and Start9 have provided different offerings to connect, like Tailscale and Zerotier, which are actually really quite performant. But for LND operators, we've built in some new tooling. We've got a Lightning Node Connect client, which is part of the Lightning Terminal stack. You get the Lightning Terminal app. You're able to use this connection format, which is essentially a proxy to connect to your node that's at home behind your firewall, as almost as if it's on ClearNet. So going from Tor to Lightning Node Connect is a huge increase in your user experience.
I really remember the first time when I was using it that way. It was at at a local bar here. We had a meetup, and it was like I have an iPhone, so I needed to open up my VPN first, and then I used LND Connect and it was like instant. I was like, well, it was almost surreal, you know, like, is it that fast? Yeah, it really is that fast. And the payment also got through so fast. And I was like, well, this might even compete with my Apple Pay on my wrist, right?
You got to time it.
Yeah, well,
Sometimes the Lightning payments actually are much quicker than those credit card payments, depending on what processor it's going through. So yeah, that's really exciting.
Yeah, and Lightning Node Connect, Steph, El Mouton helped building that, right?
Yeah.
Elle is incredible. She's one of the most talented devs in the space. And they've just got a great team just building that part of the stack out. It's really been a great resource for many node operators. So we're grateful to have it, and we're really grateful to have it integrated in Zeus. Hopefully some more apps will follow suit.
Yep. And what unique technical challenges did you face in developing Zeus in the beginning? Maybe something that was really difficult to overcome?
So there's a couple of different things. Number one, Zeus is my first mobile app that I built from scratch. So it was a big learning process for me. You know, down the line, we hit those Tor issues, which led for the need for us to integrate LNC. But before that, I would say user interface, user experience stuff was probably the biggest challenge. Lightning introduces all these new concepts that you have to learn on top of sort of knowing how Bitcoin works, what's a private key, public key, private key, et cetera. So how do you convey that to users? And, you know, beyond that, just the design of the app was very ugly. So I was very fortunate to have the Bitcoin design community reach out to me and say, hey, Evan, we've got this new initiative. We're putting together a group of designers that want to improve the appearance and the user experience of Bitcoin apps. And we were one of the first ones to collaborate with them, and it paid dividends. So I always got to give them a shout out.
The change with the old app within the testing environment and then the new app was totally different. I thought, whoa, this is,
Yeah, it was definitely a big jump. Difference. Listen, you know, they're not going to just do everything for you. You have to be interacting with them. You have to give a little to get a little, but it has paid so many dividends. Our buddy Bosch, who's essentially the design lead on the product for, you know, many years, has so many screens still we haven't implemented. He's a beast. So shout out to Bosch too.
Yeah, shout out.
Awesome.
And some time ago, Zeus received a grant from the Human Rights Foundation. They focus on improving Bitcoin's usability, privacy, and resilience. Could you elaborate on how Zeus is aligning with these goals, and specifically how is Zeus contributing to make Bitcoin more accessible, enhancing privacy for users, and strengthening the resilience of the Bitcoin ecosystem?
So first and foremost, the people that HRF spotlights and works with are the people that don't need Bitcoin today. They don't need Bitcoin in the future. They needed it yesterday, and they needed it really badly, not just because they could use some more money. It's like, no, because they had authoritarian dictators targeting them and making their lives difficult. So anytime I get to hear people from HRF speak, it really just puts things into perspective and, you know, just reinforces why I'm in this. So with Zeus, we try to make tools that are resilient, tools that are censorship resistant, tools that allow you to make those payments that they don't want you to make. So everything that we design at Zeus, we make sure that, God forbid, I fall off the face of the planet or Zeus, the company, falls off the face of the planet, people should still be able to use the tools and make payments on the Lightning Network. So we're always building things with those dissidents, those freedom fighters in mind. And Lightning as a technology and using it in a self-sovereign manner is very difficult. There's a lot of technical hurdles. So we're always trying to make it easier to use, more accessible, and whenever possible, still retaining the core properties that makes Bitcoin valuable. So moving forward, we're going to make it easier to use Zeus, lowering the barrier to entry by embedding the full Lightning node into the app so that there's no need to have a remote connection anywhere. Yeah. And we're going to help users do the heavy lifting with the assistance from our Lightning service provider, Olympus.
But the old option will still remain possible,
of
right?
Of course, of course. And you'll be able to switch between your node in the cloud, the node that you have at home, to the one that's on your phone. Perfect. Zeus is not losing any functionality. We're going to just keep building it out.
Perfect.
Yeah, we saw the announcements, of course, of Olympus in April, I think, this year.
Yeah, so there's a couple of services we've got ready. It just hasn't been the right time to get them out the door. But the new wallet we've got in a alpha stage with some closed group of testers, and we're slowly looking to open that up more and more. We are roughly targeting a App Store release date for the new version of the app, Zeus 0.8, in September. So, you know, keep your eyes peeled and give us a little patience. We're building a lot of stuff out, but you guys are going to love it. It's working great already.
Great.
Awesome.
Can't wait to test it.
Yeah, indeed. Yeah.
Absolutely. Because, maybe I'll get you guys in on the alpha tester group. You guys will help me out. Nice. You guys better file some bug reports.
Definitely, definitely. Well, sure. The Lightning Service Provider part is the thing that really gets it to use for other people instead of us, right? Because we're tech savvy, so it needs to be easier to run it from your mobile phone. I'm really looking forward to it. And well, an embedded self-custody node running on your phone, like we talked about, and node channel management. In what way is this necessary, in your opinion, for Lightning to progress to the next step?
Well, I would say it's important to have these tools that allow self-custody, because without them, we're essentially eroding Bitcoin's properties. If we're just going to sit back and accept that Bitcoin is just only going to be used like in a custodial manner, then it's like, what are we even in this for? You know, you reintroduce the risk of losing your funds, rehypothecation. You add extra surveillance risk from the operator of these custodial services. You have the risk of paper Bitcoin. You know, with these services, you don't even have to show their reserves. And that's a difficult thing to even prove, even when you are trying to show them, right?
Yeah,
like, it just erodes Bitcoin's 21 million coin cap, which is perhaps its most promising quality. You know what I mean? So it's just important that we try to stay true to Bitcoin's core values and remember what it was built for.
And you also spoke about the majority of any commercial services potentially coming for providing liquidity or connectivity. What does this mean for users who want to maintain a self-custodial wallet? How are you planning to balance this with the custodial aspect?
What custodial aspect? Of custodial wallets in the ecosystem?
I think
a lot of users are coming in. They're getting easy to use solutions like Wallet of Satoshi. That's fine, at least for proof of concept, as long as they are informed of the risks. And I hope that people can continue to be educated and be onboarded to wallets like Zeus as their second wallet once they're comfortable with the basics. So we're hoping that, you know, we foster a strong community, we keep educating people, and Zeus naturally becomes this second step for people. Or perhaps we just get the user experience down pat that people are just going to it as their first wallet that they use.
And that would be amazing.
It would be nice, right?
Yeah.
You start self-custodial and you stay self-custodial. That's the ultimate goal.
Well, that's what I just wanted to ask you, because inclusivity and accessibility are key features of the Lightning Network. And to make sure the technology is not just for the technologically privileged, a lot of education is still needed.
Absolutely.
So that goes really hand in hand. What are you doing to help equip people with the necessary knowledge and confidence to shift from custodial to non-custodial solutions in the future? Because knowing that a custodial solution is only suitable for, some sets, for paying some small things, that's what we know. But how can we educate them? And what is the role of Zeus in that way?
So I think you have to attack it from a lot of different angles, right? Content online, good documentation, strong communities online. But we also need that in-person component. We need those strong communities in person, those Bitcoin third places where you can go in person, where you could look someone in the eyes, shake their hand, and you know, be able to ask those questions that you either couldn't find an answer for online or didn't feel comfortable asking. So when we talk about places like Bitcoin Park in Nashville or PubKey in New York City, we need more of these places to emerge in every city around the world so that people do have places to go to interact with other Bitcoiners, keep building out these communities, and to create opening, welcoming spaces for newbies as well.
And that's what we're all about, right?
That sounds great. Yeah, indeed. Yeah, connecting the world and trust, but trust with a community that is to be trusted, right?
Yeah. Will be the role of multi-asset protocols like Terra or RGB in Zeus? Are you going to integrate this? Or do you have any plans?
We're definitely open to it. I think we're in an exploratory phase right now with Taproot assets. I like to call them tapas.
Yeah, tapas, yes.
But yeah, it's not outside of the realm of possibility that we see tapas in Zeus in the near future. I'd really love for that to be an option. Obviously, you don't want to force it upon people. They are essentially fiat assets. Redemption is always going to be a problem beyond, the taproot strips. So a level of education is required. But for a lot of people, especially people who are low income, who are living paycheck to paycheck and they have their expenses denominated in fiat, it can be an immensely powerful tool. Yep. And I ultimately believe that something like Taproot Assets or RGB can provide to be an incredible Trojan horse for the adoption of Bitcoin. Yep. And, there's some caveats that need to be put up straight forth. And let people know about what those trade-offs are. But I don't think they should be dismissed also quickly.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. And what difficulties do you anticipate in maintaining compatibility and interoperability with Zeus as the Lightning Network evolves and adds more features and standards? More standards are introduced, like, for example, Arc. Do you think that it will become easier in the end, or are we on the bottom of the hill with all those features and standards?
Well, that's always tricky. We are in an environment where development is happening so rapidly, and we still have a plethora of problems that we want to solve. I have a vision for where I want the wallet to go, what its abilities are, what it will be able to provide to people. But the specific protocols it interacts with, what other things it could interface, whether it be Cashew or Arc, I wouldn't say that they're outside of the realm of possibility. But moving forward, wherever possible, we're going to be focusing on actual self-custody of real Bitcoin, layer one, layer two, and less so these custodial abstractions.
Yeah. And are there plans to monetize any of these newer features you've talked about, or will Zeus continue to operate on a donation basis? I mean, yeah. What are your thoughts?
So Zeus, the wallet itself, will always remain free and open source software. We will also probably continue to highlight our donators. We've got a donation page at zeusln.app/about. So if you want to get your Twitter or Nostr your profile picture on there and support the open source part of the project, you could continue to do so. But we're evolving. We're trying to turn Zeus into a lucrative business, and I think we will be. So a lot of our Lightning service provider offerings will be paid. When you open up a ZeroConf channel in the new version of Zeus, there's going to be a fee for us to open it to you. We'll also be receiving some fees for transactions that you make through those channels. And beyond that, we're going to have a plethora of different offerings, channels that you can open, get opened up to your node at home. So let's say you're one of these power users of Zeus today. You can still interact with Olympus. And there's going to be also some complementary services beyond getting that connectivity to the Lightning Network in the form of Lightning addresses, channel backups, stuff like that. So it's going to be a really involved.
That's a huge difference.
Yeah, very unique offering. And I think there's a huge gap in the market to provide services like this.
Nice. Yeah, I think you're right. Well, let's continue with some questions about the Lightning Network. If we still have time, we can ask a few. Alex Gladstein from HRF said at the time of the grant that they give to Zeus, usability is the theme of this stage of the fund. And why, in your opinion, is usability so important for the Lightning Network? And what can you tell about the current state of the Lightning Network?
We're still very much in Lightning's nascency. Great strides have been made. But UX is a huge part of the puzzle. if Bitcoin and Lightning is not easy to use, it's going to be hard to attract users. And this thing is not going to work unless we have a lot of users. Because the end goal is essentially global adoption.
Yeah. What hurdles do you need to take? Do you think need to be overcome to ensure widespread adoption, and especially in the non-Western countries?
Education, good user interfaces. You can't make people think too much, and you got to easily onboard the newcomers to the Lightning Network in the form of channels. And I think that's what we're doing with Zeus.
Perfect.
Nice. That's a nice ending. We had a couple of more questions, but I love this. Would be great to have you back on our show another day. So thanks again, Evan.
Thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate your time.
Of course.
The pleasure is ours, mate.
Tilknut. Well,
we still have one question left for you, which you may choose yourself, because we prepared three questions for you from different people, but you only have to choose one.
You're
only made to choose one. You can choose from Max DeMarco. He's a Bitcoin filmmaker.
Oh, Max, I just met him. We hung in Prague and Oslo. He's fantastic.
Great.
Cool.
So that could be a good choice for sure.
That could be true. Yeah, you didn't hear the other two.
Yeah, let me hear the other ones. I can't decide too hastily.
No, it's Albert Brew from Neutron Pay, or it's Andrew Baggin from Galloway Money.
Ooh. Andrew's got some good content too, good lens, but I think I got to go with my guy Max.
Okay, cool. Let's go with Max.
And the other ones, well, if you follow our show, then one time we will tell. ask them. Yeah, here it comes.
Hi, I'm Max DeMarco, Bitcoin filmmaker, and I have a question for you. So what is the maximum amount of sats or dollars which someone should have in their Lightning wallet?
Ooh, good question.
Especially for Zeus.
This is a fantastic question. Well, first of all, never more than you can afford to lose. Lightning as it stands right now is very experimental technology, and the wallets that have implemented it are also still very much in their nascency. Hell, the biggest exchange in the world just implemented Lightning this week, right? Like, this is still very early. So I stand by the analogy that you should treat this like your checkings account. Do not put your life savings in it. Be fully comfortable with yourself losing the full amount in your Lightning wallet. God forbid, hopefully that never happens, but that's the way you should be treating it. Leave the risk of the high amounts to the exchanges and the Lightning service providers.
Cool, thanks.
Nice.
Okay, thanks again.
Yeah, again, thanks, man.
Where can people follow you, man?
I'm staying busy building, so I'm chatting a little less shit online lately, but I'm on Twitter, Evan Kaloudis, EvanKaloudis. I am also on Noster as Twitter becomes more, let's say, regulated. I'm finding myself gravitating towards more free platforms like Noster. I just hope that more users come and follow suit. My NIP05 is evan@zeusln.app, and that same domain, zeusln.app, is the main home of Zeus for now. Keep posted on all those accounts, and we've got a lot of work. You have a donation
section, right?
Yeah, so if you want to donate to the project and help make sure that we can keep shipping a free and open source version of Zeus, check out zeusln.app/about. Yeah, every sat counts, and we greatly appreciate it.
Nice. And in the future, we can use a Lightning address from Olympus, right?
Absolutely. So out the gate, you're going to be able to connect your Lightning address using our infrastructure to your node back home, to your node that's running all at home. But, you know, we also realize that we want, you know, these light client new users that are going to be coming to Zeus in the coming months to be able to interface with Lightning addresses. And we're really looking closely at how to solve these problems of accepting payments for these users in a non-custodial manner when they're offline, too. So we're hoping to roll that out in the coming years, too. But it's going to take some work.
Obviously.
So maybe that's good to add. If you want to join the waiting list, then go to what's the site of Olympus? Because there you can add your Noster account, right? Or your
So you're going to be able to sign up for our waiting list using either your email address or your NOST or NPUB. The main website for Olympus right now is OlympusLN, LN as in Lightning Network, .com. So OlympusLN.com.
Awesome.
Join the waitlist. We've got a lot of goodies coming soon.
Cool.
Awesome. And thanks to everybody else for listening, of course, and thanks to all members participating in Stushy Radio Rings of Fire. And of course, thanks to everyone helping to connect the world with us. So if you like our content, then please support us in our mission. Visit our website, connecttheworld.live, where you can also donate and subscribe, like, and share our content on your favorite platform. So remember, we need you to complete our mission. So keep those nodes running, sets flowing, and rings burning. And see you all next week on this same Lightning channel. Au revoir, Evan.
Cheers, all.